Next, we have Mr. Shafi Backus, the Chair of Grimsby Energy Inc., to bring us an update on the biodigester. Welcome, Shafi. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of Council. I know I have 10 minutes. The clerk stressed that with me, so, and I know you have a tight schedule, so I'll try to be brief. So I'm going to read from some notes that I have. So if you can just excuse that for a minute. I'd like to begin by saying that most of 2017 was occupied with the final construction of the biodigester plant. And I'm here tonight to update you on what has been happening since then. We received our... I'd like to begin by saying that most of 2017 was occupied with the final construction of the biodigester plant. And I came to you back in, I think it was July of last year, to give you an update on that construction. We received our operations manual in April 2017 from Novatech, which is a German company that designed the plant, and we hired our four permanent members, staff, to operate the plant. The commissioning process began in 2017, and by July, the construction was approximately 99% complete. I would like to digress for a moment to introduce Mr. Brian Hughes, who is sitting in front here. He is a certified professional engineer and has been hired as our on-site staff engineer. Brian comes to us with a wealth of engineering experience, having worked for the region of Niagara, the city of Hamilton, and the city of London. Also on our staff is Mr. Adam Farkas, who was supposed to be here tonight, but he had an emergency and he could not attend. Adam is our lead hand on site and is involved on a daily basis with the operations and maintenance of the plant. He has been with us since commissioning of the operation, so he's very well versed in the operations of the plant. He's assisted by two other individuals, all of whom are on call 24 hours. The plant requires on call 24 hours because it's operating on a 24-hour basis, 7 days a week. Significant in 2017 was an application to amend our renewal energy certificate for the plant to receive source-separated organics as a future feedstock. This was inadvertently omitted from the original documents that were submitted for approval. The application raised a number of concerns from members of the public, in particular the perceived notion that we would be processing biosolids. These concerns were addressed by explaining to a public process, to the newspapers, that there was no intention presently of using SSOs in its basic form, but it was necessary for the amendment to take place for the certificate to be complete. In the future, if this were to occur, it would require modification to the plant and further capital investments. After the plant was commissioned for operation in August 2017, we experienced our first production of gas that generated electricity to the grid as planned. Although this was minimal at the time, given the nature of the anaerobic digestion process, it was nevertheless sufficient to prove the plant's operation as a success. Since that time, the plant's production of gas has been increasing slowly each month of its operation. This is expected to continue into 2018 as we progress through a slow learning curve, in particular where a combination of different feedstock input is concerned. Critical to the success of the operation of the plant is a supply of feedstock. In this regard, we have contracted with suppliers to ensure an adequate supply, not only in terms of volume, but also in terms of variety that would generate maximum gas output. Important in the digestion process is the fact that it takes approximately 125 days for a combination of inputs to produce gas, and this depends on the type of feedstock, where, for example, sugars and certain types of food waste, such as discarded dog food and fats and oils and greases, will speed up digestion, but an incorrect combination of these feedstock also can cause the process to produce excess gas, which is not usable, as well as liquids, much much as though you're having a case of indigestion, so it is a balancing act. You need to think of the biodigestive plan as your stomach, and whatever you put in, a couple of things happen. You have gas, and you have the digestate, which is the end product, and liquids. So it's really the same combination on how you feed the plant. We feed the plant daily at a rate of 80 cubic meters of feedstock. So that is it is essential that we have sufficient quantity of the right combination of foods available. In terms of the feedstock, we have been successful in negotiating mid to long-term contracts from several local and out-of-town sources at minimal cost to us. In fact, we have negotiated a few contracts whereby we receive an engine fee. We are not allowed to charge a tipping fee because we are not a landfill site. So we are allowed, though, to charge an engine fee in return for accepting certain feedstock. This will amount to approximately $155,000 per year in extra revenues, which were not previously anticipated. And that's the good news. At the moment, we have three bunkers where the feedstock is stored, and there's provision to add another three in the future. We have also entered into an agreement with the Niagara region to lease the decommissioned Park Road landfill site, which is right next door to the site. We are leasing this to grow grasses as part of the plant's feedstock. I will note that depending on weather conditions, at times there is some odor, but this is mitigated by covering the feedstock when not in use as required by our certificate. So this is something we have to do. I will also note that the Ministry of the Environment has assigned an officer particularly to the site who monitors the site's performance regularly for compliance with the approval certificate to ensure the operation remain within the ministry's guidelines at all times. There have been some public complaints made to the Ministry of the Environment relating to odor in the vicinity. However, in all instances where the plant is concerned, these were addressed to the satisfaction of the ministry and documented as required by the approval certificate and sent to the ministry. From September to June of this year, revenues from electricity produced has been increasing monthly at an average rate of approximately 5%. This is expected to continue as the plant approaches full capacity, which is anticipated by the end of 2018 or early 2019. At the present time, we are at approximately 90% capacity, or approximately 7,800 hours of production time on average per year. Apart from the engine fee mentioned previously, another source of revenue which we are currently investigating is the sale of the end product digestate as a fertilizer to farmers. An application for this to take place is currently being reviewed by the Federal Nutrient Management Regulations to certify the digestate as processed agricultural source material. This will earn us extra revenues, which was not anticipated when we first developed the plan. We anticipate approval in the coming days. When this occurs, we will receive a fee for each ton of digestate we are able to sell as fertilizers to the farmers in and around the area. As we proceed into 2018, we anticipate a higher degree of success in terms of the plant's operation and production of gas and electricity. They should meet anticipated expectations when the plant's construction proposal was first considered in 2010. I will note that we have also entertained several inquiries for partnerships and also for capturing excess gas and converting the same into renewable natural gas. These are all on the table for discussion, and no decisions have been reached with respect to these inquiries as yet. Nevertheless, this is another potential source of revenues should this take place in the future. The good news is that we are beginning to service our debt to Novatec, the German company, and the bank, and we will be remitting revenues to the town on a regular basis beginning in October of this year. I will conclude by saying that the plant's operation is progressing as anticipated, and we will continue to generate revenues for the town in the coming years. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Shafi. Any questions from members of council? Alderman Wilson.
Through you to Shafi. Shafi, I still get the question. How come it took so long for them to get that thing going? I know some of the reasons, but give me a couple.
The biggest reason is the approval of the application. It took 3 years just to get the approval of the application. Then we had to deposit a large sum of money to satisfy any environmental concern, the money which we will never get back. Because as long as the plant is operating, that has to stay with the ministry. Then we have weather conditions to deal with. Then in the previous 3 years, we had severe weather conditions, rain, snow, and ice. So we had to dig into the ground to accommodate the 30-meter tanks, which are fully into the ground. So we had significant delays in that process. When I came to you in July, I mentioned all of these. I even showed you pictures of how the construction was progressing or not progressing, for that matter of fact. There was a whole month, for example, I recall, where construction ceased because we could not do anything. So those were some of the factors that led to the delay. But finally, we got it done. I think it was August when construction was complete and we were able to start producing gas. But the process itself, as I mentioned, it's 125 days before you can get any gas from the time you put input feedstock into the front end of the plant by the time it gets to the back end where the gas is actually sent to the engine. So it's a long process, and we're still trying to figure out the exact combination of gas, of feedstock, to get the maximum efficiency from the plant.
Thank you.
And part of the process changed at the very beginning as well, because renewable energy was under the RESOP program when we first applied, and they halted that program while they started the renewable energy application program. So there was a time delay in them actually having a program available after we'd already started. We applied under the Renewable Energy Standard Offer program, and they halted it. So I think it was 59 months altogether before from start to when we finally got approval.
I find people, they want a real simple answer there. And one I mostly give them, and you just reiterated, and I thank you for that, was that government doing the hoop? But people, are you sure, you know, that kind of thing. So thank you for reiterating it anyway. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Alderman Cadwell.
Thank you, Mayor Bentley, and thank you for the presentation. I was kind of hoping we would have had a report beforehand that we could have read, digested, and maybe I'm just writing stuff down here now as you're reporting, and it's been tough. So hopefully that we can get a copy of this report, and will this report be public too? That's my first question.
Mr. Mayor, I didn't write a report. These were just some notes I had that I did last night, in fact. So there wasn't, when you asked me to bring an update, you said just an oral report, and that's what I did. So
the request was for an update, and you've given us an update. And it wasn't for a formal report.
Intended,
it is a business that's still in commissioning and in an operation, but the request that you made was for an update. So Shafi's just given us an update now. And I asked if you had any questions, ask them. I'll pass them along. And if Shafi didn't have it in his notes, then we'd certainly try to get them answered. But I got no reply. So I'm not sure what kind of questions you had. But if you still have some, we can certainly get them answered either through the board or...
Mr. Mayor, I'll be happy to answer the questions if you put them in writing to you. And you can transmit them to me. I'll get his answer.
Okay.
For sure.
Thank you. Yeah, just sometimes to ask questions, you have to read a report first, understand, you know, what's been, you know, what's involved. So I'll leave that. Now, you mentioned back in your last report, I'll keep calling report because I got educated on it. So we were over $10 million. The project was about $10 million budget-wise. Where are we now, roughly, for the cost of this biodigester?
Mr. Mayor, like I mentioned the last time, the same question came up, I think it was from Alderman Johnson. GEI is a private incorporated, and that type of information is not public. But if the council wants that information, a request to the GEI board, we can certainly provide it. If that's
the construction was basically completed when you brought the update in July,
right.
Anyway, so
yeah.
That number hasn't changed a whole lot. And,
yeah.
And so.
So what is it?
10?
10.
It's 10. That's
10?
The number he gave.
Yeah. All right. So that's a number we can count on?
It's already been reported, so yeah, you can count on
it. But a lot's happened since that report, too, though. A lot
yeah,
of construction.
A lot of revenue's been made, too, so what's
yeah.
the point?
Okay.
A couple more questions.
Now, there was a, you mentioned there was the tarps in that. Now, how does that work? Are the, is a stock feed or whatever it is that covered
feed.
All the time? Feed stock,
it has to be covered all the time because that's a ministry requirement. We are planning some kind of a permanent structure to go over it. That was in the original application. We haven't gotten there yet, but right now it's covered with tarp. And weighted by tires.
Except when they're receiving or feeding the machine.
The rule is, Mr. Mayor, it has to be, sorry, Mr. Mayor, the rule is it has to be covered at all times except the portion that is lifted so that the backhoe can get into there to get the load out of there, and it should be, it has to be recovered immediately. So it should, it has to be covered whenever it's not in use. Let me put it that way.
And it is, as you mentioned.
Yeah, it has. We have, as I mentioned, there's a ministry officer that has been assigned to the plant, and I can tell you he's on our backs regularly.
Yes. Sorry. Thank you. I see they're building a berm. Was that supposed to be done prior to the up and running of the facility, or? Or do we have to build it higher? Or why is the?
As far as I know, we don't have to fill it higher. We did have to a requirement for us to have some kind of a fencing, but we were able to get extra dirt from I think it was Rankin who was doing some construction, wanted to dispose of some dirt. So we negotiated with him. We didn't pay him anything. He actually they sent the dirt over to us, and they actually provided the dozer to shape it up. So I think that has been good for the plant.
One last one, and I'll keep it brief. You mentioned gas to maybe Enbridge, so that your gas is called sour gas, right? Which means it doesn't comply
it's methane,
and I've spoken to the folks at Enbridge.
Gas. It's methane gas. I'm not sour
but,
gas is. This is outside my league, by the way. I think that's. I know when I was in Yellowknife one time, I did smell sour gas. And I think it comes
sulfide.
Out from the dirt, from the earth, right? Yeah.
Yeah, my question is, in order to allow your byproduct of gas to be used by Enbridge, which I did work with them
mm-hmm.
for a couple
mm-hmm.
of years anyways, but it's ours is no what how they explained it to me. Yours is, or ours is sour gas. So you have to do some
processed.
Type of a...
It has to be
now,
processed.
That's obviously at our expense, too.
No,
if we want to...
Not necessarily. We had a meeting with Enbridge? Yeah. And they're prepared right now to say that they will provide the type of equipment we need to make this possible.
We need a pasteurizer. We need a pasteurizer to condition it
right,
to get the siloxanes out. But that depends on the feedstock quality that you have in order to get the gas quality in order to feed it in the gas grid.
The
so
gas that's
that.
Being produced right now cannot go into the system as renewable energy gas. So it has to be pasteurized I forget the chemistry of it, but they have to be processed.
Yeah, I understand that. And they're gonna pay for the
cost. We made that clear to them that we're not upfronting anything. If they want us to do that, they have to come up with the funds and the equipment.
We have a couple of parties that are interested in doing that. So we haven't committed to anybody yet, but we did have 26 of Enbridge engineers up there to thoroughly go through the site. But they are one of the people that are looking to provide equipment if we go that route, but there's a couple of others as well. So.
But that's another source of revenue that will be a positive sign for the operations at the plant.
Alderman Johnson.
Just one question. I was, as Alderman Cadwell had spoken, if we want to produce the quality that Enbridge wants, does that mean we have to somehow increase the type of feed that we're feeding this biodigester?
Not necessarily. It's the types of feedstock, and the methane is an off gas. It's like your backyard composter. It heats up when it's decomposing and giving off gas. Depending on the type of feed stock that you're using, you will get off gases of different types. In order to get into the gas grid, I think it's 99.8% pure. And in order to get there, then there are some impurities, or siloxins are one of them, that are in most of the biogas that would need to be removed or pasteurized as part of it. But that's equipment that would need to go on the front end, and we've said up front, it's a great opportunity, but we're not spending money on it. If someone wants us to be a partner, or they want us to take, we've got capacity in the tanks. We built the tanks large enough. We have excess capacity, so we can expand if need be. It is a significant revenue opportunity, but we're not putting out the capital to do that right now. It's a matter of, we have two or three people that, groups that are actually looking to be a partner in that. Alderman Johnson?
So the other question I want to ask is, from day one, when we went into this process, is everything going forward the way it should be? Are we pleased with it for our community? And are we doing what we're expected to be doing?
I would say absolutely. When we have farmers calling us almost every day, asking us to help take their waste, their fruits, their vegetables, the peppers. The guy emailed me 2 days ago and saying, I need a place to put this. Can you take? And it's grape pumice. We already have contracts with farmers for grape pumice. If we don't take it, they've got to haul it somewhere and pay to have it landfilled, and you can't do that after 2020. So we have a lot of opportunity, a revenue stream, as Shafi had mentioned. We've got more revenue opportunities now than we had planned originally. The output now is up around 90%, and it's still growing. In our business plan, we had conservatively set around 80, 85. You're going to have some downtime and stuff like that, but it's running well. So we're pleased with it, and it's steady.
We produce some excess gas, Mr. Mayor, which we flare off right now because we can't accommodate the amount of gas that's coming out. So we have to flare some of it. It's that flaring, that what's going into the flare, that we can turn into renewable gas energy and sell it to companies like Enbridge. So we have the potential to make excess revenues that was never anticipated in the original proposal to build a plan.
Okay. Alderman Berry?
I'm just two things. First of all, the renewable natural gas is a huge potential for the plant.
It's actually larger than the hydro contract, yeah. if and when we go that route.
Yeah, I was going to actually mention that. I didn't want to get everybody too excited that you might, if it does pan out, that it might be beneficial to get away from the FIT contract and get into the RNG. But that's to be determined. But I really wanted to address Alderman Johnson's point about, are you happy with it? And as a person that sat on this council and as along with some other people who wasn't totally supportive of the idea, I'm pleasantly pleased to say that I think I was wrong. I know we went through a lot of stress and turmoil to get to this point, but now that the revenue's coming and we're seeing the revenue sources and it's coming back to the town and I can see the future and what potential sources there are, I'm not afraid to admit that one person that got up and was bantering that he didn't want it, that for all the turmoil we went through, it's going to be beneficial for the town and the future of the town and the taxpayers. So if the other different things pan out, the engine fee being another $150,000, and if the RNG ever works, renewable natural gas works out, We've had people that want to come and you know, look at it and you know, either partner or buy out. They haven't made formal offers, but they've looked at it. So my point is, you know, as one of those naysayers at the beginning, I think we're at the point that we need to be. So it isn't losing money, and we're not looking at this, you know, the sky is falling scenario for the town of Grimsby. So I just wanted to reiterate what Mayor Bob had said and ensure that everybody, as anybody who sat on this council in those meetings knows, I was not a big supporter, but I think we're in the right direction, and it's certainly going in the right direction with the revenue.
Alderman Mullins.
Thank you. Yes, I too just wanted to reiterate to Alderman Johnson's comments about are we satisfied? I've been sitting on this board, the Grimsby Energy Board, now for quite some time, and I will be the first to say, hey, listen, it has had its challenges. We had a lot of challenges. Weather, getting all the proper approvals, the weather that we've had to deal with, the knowledge that we've gained on this now. My technical knowledge now on this whole thing is far superior than it was a few years ago. But I have to commend the folks that, I mean, Shafi and such has done a tremendous amount of work to get us to where we are. And just the knowledge that we have now, we are now really in this market. We are the experts, and the fact that we have built into our budget, the town's budget for this year, to have funds come back to the town, and we will be seeing that. So yes, am I satisfied with how it's going? Yes, I am. Has it been easy? No, it has not. But have we learned a lot? And I think on going forward, we can certainly, there's a lot of things yet we can improve upon. But we've got a strong knowledge base on which to build.
A question of her, okay, Alderman Johnson. Then I've got Alderman Dunstall.
I just want to make it very, very clear, and I think with Alderman Berry saying it very, very clearly, that because everybody seems to be in favor, that I think the more transparent we are with everything going forward with the community, I think that's what we want to show, and I think that's what Alderman Berry is trying to say, and I hope that's what comes forward out of this, that the transparency of this company to the community and to the stakeholders, that we see what's coming forward.
Thank you. Alderman Dunstall.
Thank you, Your Worship. Shafi, good report. Thank you very much. And since I'm the newest boy on the block, I'm the only first-time alderman, and come into it kind of in the middle of everything, and it was pretty tense at some points. But I got to tell you, I love what you said there about these engine fees. There's an extra $150,000. Do you know how hard it is to try and make money in this world anymore? I commend you. And I got to tell you, you guys are pioneers. That's what you are. And I hope that the news media reports that these guys are pioneers. You've done a fabulous job. It really is. And I've been through the plant a couple of times. What an undertaking. That couldn't be built in 6 months, even though it was suggested. That was quite a project. And to see what it is today and what it's doing and the future opportunities, it just blows me away. Kudos to you. And when Alderman Mullins went on there and was paying attention to the finances, I had no doubt that things would run well, because she knows how to manage those finances. And look at it now, you know, we're going to get dividends. What more could we ask for? Oh, so it went over. But when you first looked at the project, the dollar was at par, and now it's at 75 cents. No wonder things cost more. The dollar goes up and down all the time. It's ridiculous. So a project that takes 3 or 4 years longer to build isn't going to be the same cost as it was 3 or 4 years earlier. Anybody in the business knows that. So my hat's off to you. I'm just elated. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And we would hope that it would be reported as such, but even the $400,000 dividend was bad news, apparently. So you never know how it's going to be taken, but it is, it has been a lot of work, for sure. I know that Joe secured a lot of input materials for us, done a great job, and under your leadership, we're in a good spot. And looking forward to working with Brian. We worked at the region for a number of years. We got a good person there as well, so we give a list Did you give him the list of things that we need to have
done? I had a meeting with him today for about an hour, and he was totally silent. If that's an indication of fear, I don't know. Mr. Mayor, before I close, before I leave the podium, the last time I was here, my closing remarks were that the town of Grimsby, and in particular the council here, should be proud of that plant. And I think you'll be even more proud as the years go by because of the potential for the plant to grow in different directions and for the potential of revenues that you can earn to the town. So I thank you for the opportunity to come before you, and I will come again when you request me to do so. Whenever you want me to come, I'll come, so long as I'm on the board, obviously. But
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Shafi. Thank you. So I've got a motion.